Welcome to the Gondodamoe Newsroom Podcast. I'm JP. I'm joined this week by Kyle. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, just looking forward to, it's just the two of us. I don't know, it's a little lonely, but I'm saying I'm looking forward to just recording. Hooray!
Yeah, I think we can do it. We're, you know, we're both heartbroken by Vinny, you know, storming out and, you know, saying he could make a better anime news podcast called The News Broom 2, but, you know, we're going to do the best we can here. This is, of course, an anime news podcast. We record it every Sunday at 1 p.m., and it comes out every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern. We talk about the top stories from the previous week. Most of it is Anime News Network, except when I forget to say that it comes from another website, but sometimes it does. And it's an hour long, so you get all your news, and then you get the fuck out pretty quick. We're on Twitter. You can find our handles in the show notes. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. If you want to leave a voicemail, you can do it at 716-46-MOE-43. That is 716-466-6343. My goodness, I am exhausted. I don't know about you.
Yes, it's Sunday. I wish that the weekend just kept on going, but unfortunately, it does not.
Yeah. Womp womp. I'm going to try my best to keep the energy up, but I know that the show that we did last night that's coming out this Wednesday, I realized, like, it's like, okay, and then this happened, and then I did this, and like, it's probably the lowest energy show I've done in a long time.
Okay, we're doing this one earlier. I think the part of the problem is that one was late at night.
Yeah, well, and I just don't like a three-hour drive. Anyway, so let's talk about some news.
Where are the demons? Bring on the pain!
First piece of news, light novel that I've never heard of called The Unwanted Undead Adventurer. It's getting an anime. This was interesting to me because when I read the description, it kind of sounded like a goofy version of Dark Souls. I don't know if you've ever played those games.
The picture that they have posted is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just like a normal looking dude, except he has a creepy skull for a face, which I guess like we have a Skeletonite airing currently. This looks a little bit different. It's a more grim version of that, I guess.
Yeah, all I know is it also looks like a bit of a harem situation. Again, only going off of the art, all I know is when I saw the premise is like, I was turned into a skeleton and then he's surrounded by beautiful women. That's not what I was thinking of when I was thinking of the word boner, you know?
I'm just thinking of Dark Souls. Cause in that game you play as like an undead person who goes on a quest to like fix the world and maybe become human. Probably. I don't know. I haven't played Dark Souls in a while, but
yeah,
I guess if you want to watch a harem anime that has nothing to do with From Software, watch the undead.
It's probably not even a harem, but like, I don't know.
It might just be.
This does not look like it's for me. I'm just going to say that straight up.
You know what is really horny? Ayakashi Triangle. That manga, we've been talking about it a lot lately. A few months ago, maybe a month ago, we talked about how Viz was withholding chapters for like 2 weeks in a row. And Manga Plus did the same thing. And then very recently, we talked about, I think it was Seven Seas that picked up the print license for that manga. A lot of
people were
very excited because that company releases a lot of pretty horny stuff and they don't censor it, I assume. If they do, then the stuff I have, I can't imagine what they would take out because holy shit. Call Girl from Another World is really extra. Anyway, so that manga is officially moving to Shonen Jump Plus, and I believe last week I misspoke and said that Shonen Jump Plus was a Viz app. It is kind of, well, technically not, but like the same company. It's the Shueisha, like digital version of, I think, adult Shonen Jump stuff. Or like, not adult, like edgier Shonen Jump stuff. But in the US, it's going to be going to Manga Plus, which is essentially the same as Shonen Jump.
Don't you just love it? Really makes sense.
Yeah, I think the digital rights are different. Like maybe Manga Plus is available in more regions, but at least at first glance, for the most part, it's a lot of the same stuff. And I assume there's also an app. I don't know. I don't have time to read manga. I don't know. There's no time to sleep these days. Anyway, moving on. Anime Expo. I don't know if you caught this. So part of the reason why I'm not super up to date on a lot of this news is because I've been shooting somewhere where we don't have a ton of cell service. So I missed this when it happened. Anime Expo's Twitter account got like hacked by some NFT bros. And I didn't see the post, but it was like a bunch of stuff promoting NFTs. Did you catch any of this?
I did. I not firsthand in that I don't follow AX because I don't live anywhere near California. And I don't even think I would go to AX, even if I were. But everyone in my feed just all of a sudden was just like, well, NFTs got AX and just a whole bunch of shenanigans. That's one way to use the platform.
Oh, I know.
If you don't have an audience, just hack someone else's. Great job.
I didn't realize this. They linked to a screenshot of the tweet in the news story, and it says, in celebration for the reveal of the Beans official collection, we've opened up an airdrop to activate NFT traders in the community in the next 24 hours. I guess out of context, not knowing that was a hack, that would be a very weird thing to see on the Anime Expo Twitter account. So
just don't do it, folks. Go hack someone like North Korea, right?
Does North Korea have a Twitter account?
Probably.
That's fair. This next story, I believe, is a follow-up from something we talked about pretty recently. We were saying that the latest Detective Conan movie was doing very, very well. It has earned 1.9 billion yen in its first couple of days. So maybe I don't know what we were talking about last time. Maybe it was like a pre-screening. Because I remember us saying that it like did significantly better than the previous film, unless that was a different movie that we were discussing.
Oh, I think you're right. Right. It was like the whole thing was like the 23rd is better than the 24th and the 25th. And it was, I remember making a comment about it. I think this is the same one.
I can't keep track of all these Conans. Anyway, the film is doing very well, and I believe it is currently number one in the Japanese box office. At least it says for the weekend of 16 through 17, so that's pretty cool. Oh, and they did the math in here for me. It looks like that's about $15.06 million in tickets.
So does we don't get the Conan movies here, do we? Like, outside of the rare, like, I think we got a Conan and Lupin crossover film, and I'm pretty sure that's like the only one I've seen.
We get Discotech releases some Conan stuff. There, it's a lot of like handpicked. So I know we have like I don't know, like the Detective
this is recent.
Conan
like
they,
this
episode
is pretty
one
recent, right?
Movie, and I think like I was gonna say Curse of the Blood Rubies. That's Dragon Ball. We may have Fist of Blue Sapphire. I feel like, I don't know. I don't know anything about Detective Conan. I watched the show on Adult Swim, and that is as far as my knowledge goes. But it's
I watched
doing
episode
well.
One the other day, and it was okay, but I was able to decide pretty quickly that, oh, I don't need to watch this anymore.
Did you watch episode one of the show or the episode one movie?
Of the show. And I was like, this looks pretty good, but also I don't want to watch like 1,000 episodes of this.
Yeah, it's really, really long. I think it's as long as One Piece at this point.
Right, but I want to watch One Piece.
Sure.
Get wrecked, Conan fans.
Did you watch the super fantastic English dub where they changed everybody's names?
I did not. I respect myself too much.
I don't. they changed what is his name, Conan Edogawa, I think he's named Jimmy
in the dub. Real 4Kids energy.
Yeah, I don't know what Funimation was doing, but it's I liked it anyway. Ultraman, the anime that I think is a Netflix production, is getting a final season next year. I have not been watching this. I don't really watch any of the CG anime, and like I know Kenji Kamiyama has done some stuff that I like, but hasn't happened in a long time.
Eden of the East. I liked Eden of the East, and it's so I didn't realize that he was the same guy behind that.
That was a decade ago.
Yeah, but I still liked it. I'm just saying, like, yeah. I'm looking at his stuff and I'm like, yeah, I the thing is, I still need to watch the, because the Ultraman TV series just started to come out here. Like, you can get them all on Blu-ray now. I would watch those before I watch this. So,
well, yeah,
there's a long road.
You'd want to watch those before you watch the final season for sure.
But you know what I mean? Like what? We got Ultra 7 and Ultra Q. Like, all of them are available now and cheap. Like, I think you can get them for $10 a pop. Like the whole series on like Best Buy and Amazon and stuff. So,
oh, I think I misunderstood what you were saying. I thought you meant that the previous seasons of this show.
No, like I am complete newbie to Ultraman in general.
Okay.
Like the only familiarity I have with Ultraman is from related, the creator of Evangelion, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he's
a
huge fan, Hideaki Anno. And that a lot of that shows up a lot in his work. So I'm familiar with it in that sense, but I've never really dove into Ultraman, and that's something I need to fix. So,
well, for fans of that anime, you're getting more of it. So good on you. The next thing I have on here, I'm not super familiar with this mangaka, but I thought it was a really interesting thing to report on. So Ayumi Kimura, who wrote a manga called Mixed Vegetables, which I believe has come out here in North America, maybe by Viz or Seven Seas, I'm not sure. They announced that they're doing their first shonen manga, and it is called Am I the Only One with No Chance of Winning? And it says it's a first love revenge romantic comedy. I don't know what they're classifying as shonen. Like, whenever I know that, like, shonen is just like a marketing term, but whenever I hear someone say, like, I'm making a shonen manga, I think of like a battle or a tournament arc thing.
Well, there's different moods. I mean, you know, of course, there you can blend it more than I think most people are familiar with, but in terms of this, doesn't give any outline of this, like what the plot's going to be or anything or the setup. It just has the art. I think it's a nice, clean style. It looks nice.
Yeah,
that's all I have to go off of.
I'm sure it'll be fine. And, you know, with how with how many things that the publishers here are grabbing, I'm sure we'll get it at some point. It feels like every other week we're announcing like 15 new titles. This is a follow-up to something we talked about very recently, I guess 3 weeks ago. So Dr. Stone had just completed, and Boichi had announced, like, they were already working on a new manga. I thought, wow, that sure is fast. The manga's already done.
Sounds like it ended prematurely, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, yeah, there was a very vague, like, something sad happened, and so they decided to discontinue their story after three chapters. We don't know what it was, but I can only assume that it was something very bad if they put a halt to their new manga.
I don't think it was ever supposed to be like a long-running thing. It always sounded to me like it was going to be something short, but it sounds like three was even shorter than that.
Yeah, it was probably meant to be more than three. I would guess maybe a volume or two, but who knows. San Diego Comic-Con, it was announced that they lost over $8 million in 2020. That should not come as a surprise because we didn't have any conventions in 2020. But what I thought was really interesting is that it seems like they still made a decent amount of money that year. I don't understand business terms. Do you know what's going on here?
It seems, like you said, that they weren't open and they're talking. It's a lot of like, oh, we're a nonprofit. And in order to have those terms, like, we have to have such and such amount of revenue and so much output. And so that's kind of just like the general worry. But looking at what's happening, I think most conventions are back in place right now.
Yeah, for the most
part. I don't know how much of like an actual worry this is.
Yeah, I'm not worried about San Diego Comic-Con. It's like one of the biggest press events of the year, so they'll be fine.
Yeah.
If things like Otakon and Anime Detour are able to come back, Comic-Con is not, you know, like, if that goes away, it's because they wanted it to go away or got tired of paying for it. I feel like, there hasn't been a ton of, like our convention is done forever that I've heard of, at least. I don't know if you can think of any.
I can't think of very many. It seems like most of them were able to, because I think it was the first year in particular was hard, but like Otakon ran last year.
Yeah.
Right? Like they were only off for 1 year.
Yeah, and they're coming back again. And Anime Next was supposed to come back, but we ran into, you know, some unforeseen circumstances with that. And Anime Expo, I assume, is coming back. So anyway, what is this one? I don't know how to say this name. Semelparis manga moves to an irregular serialization. I just copy paste things, apparently. Another manga is being put on hiatus due to author's health. That seemed to be a theme this week, is a lot of stuff like stopping because of health problems.
Yeah, I saw it was like 4 or 5. It was kind of shocking. But I mean, it really shouldn't be. It's a no secret that if you work in the anime or manga industry, that you are going to be worked within an inch of your life.
Yeah, pretty much. The name of it is Semelparis. And yeah, it's now going to be on an irregular schedule until the author feels better. It does not specify what the issue is, but probably overworked and, you know, not
usually doesn't. You know, these, you know, they don't like to show their hand. Sure. You know, it's always just like poor health. They don't ever say like, oh, I think that the only time they would say is if there was a death, mm-hmm. or if there was like an injury grave enough that they couldn't draw anymore or something. But outside of that, they tend to just play it close to the vest.
G Kids is going to be screening Panda Go Panda. And was there another thing in here? I feel like there was supposed to be another. That's a feature film? For some reason in my head, I thought that was like a short film.
There's technically two of them. So there's Panda Go Panda from 72. And there's Panda Go Panda Rainy Day Circus from 73. It seems like both of them will screen. It says that they are screening at the IFC Center in New York on May 6th. And the Lamy theaters in Los Angeles on May 13th. It's neat that they're showing this because, of course, most of the time, the films that will show in like regular theaters for a day or two will be Miyazaki films.
Yeah.
And this is a co-creation between the both of them. Takahata directed it, but this is not normally, like, this is before Ghibli. And like a lot of those projects, there is a lot of Ghibli flavor and stylization in there, even though they're, you know, not Ghibli. So that this is kind of being grandfathered in is like, I think that's what's newsworthy here.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've not seen this film. I know that it's like they just announced they were putting out a Blu-ray release of it. Discotheque had put it out previously. It says that there are plans for additional theaters, but currently there's just the one screening in New York and the one in LA. So I guess keep your ears, I don't know, to the ground for more of that.
For those who haven't seen it, it's kind of a prototypical, or rather a prototype of Totoro. So, hey, if you haven't seen it, maybe go do that.
So this next piece of news, it seems that I did not put it with all of the others. There was a lot of Crunchyroll dub announcements this week. And so I'm going to just try to do them all at once, and I have to scroll up and find out where I put the rest of them. So Tomodachi Gang, that dub is going to premiere on April 19th, and then I'm going to scroll up. Estab Life, Great Escape, that dub premiered on Wednesday. Greatest Demon Lord is Reborn, that also premiered on Wednesday. Heroines Run the Show and The Dawn of the Witch both premiered on Thursday. Data Live 4 premiered on April 22nd. I don't know what day that is. It's just... or no, that's coming up, right? No, that was 2 days ago. So that would have been probably also Thursday. What else? Cast for The Love Affair after World Domination. Kaguya-sama Love is War, third season. It does not say the date in the headline, but I'm sure you could find it pretty easily. Also, Shikamori's Not Just a Cutie, that dub has been announced, as well as Amime and Ayoshi. And then the last dub that they have announced is Tank Op Destiny. I think a lot of these were announced already, but they have released the cast list and release dates for several of these. So if you are a dub fan, you got a shitload coming. I feel like they really ramped up the simuldub operation. I don't know about you. You probably don't pay attention to that as much.
And you are correct.
I got to find out where I was. Golden Kamuy is getting a live-action film. Not a whole lot of other details, but the...
very early going.
Yeah, the manga just finished, I believe, and I feel like there's another season of anime coming. But yeah, live-action film. Maybe they'll also have a terrible CG bear in there.
Oh my goodness.
This next one is very interesting to me because it just puts into perspective how much popular manga has gotten since I was in high school. So Viz recently announced that Bleach crossed 2.7 million copies in print. So that's not necessarily sales, that's just copies that exist. But they also said that My Hero Academia is over 10 million. Which is nuts if you think back to Bleach being like the biggest thing on the block. And, you know, even with, you know, what, 15 years, 20 years, however long Bleach has been out, it's still like one third of the number of copies as My Hero. And I believe My Hero is also a much shorter manga. So,
for the record, these are US numbers.
Yeah, these are US numbers.
So they say down below that Shueisha just announced on January 30th. That My Hero Academia has 65 million copies in circulation worldwide.
Jesus.
So, just to put that in perspective even further.
Did it list the Bleach worldwide numbers? Probably not.
No.
But yeah, it's you know, because Bleach was... It was like Bleach, Naruto, and One Piece were like the biggest game in town. I know we've talked about this on the No Name show a bunch, but we referred to it as the big three for a long time. And a lot of people still talk about that. Like what
in the US, I wonder how much bigger the anime was than the manga.
Yeah, that is fair.
You know?
Yeah, I personally, I didn't buy the Bleach manga because it's
I would,
so many
I can't imagine buying those separate issues back in like the early aughts when there was no digital option.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a bookcase.
That's why I don't buy any of these like super long-running things. Like Dr. Stone, I'd love to read, but I don't want 30 volumes of manga on my shelf. And, you know, same with Bleach or Naruto. I would just read them in Shonen Jump, the magazine at the time. That's where I'd get my Bleach and Naruto fix. So moving on. This is not great news. So Toei was recently taken to task about some, you know, not great labor practices, specifically unpaid overtime and I believe sexual harassment. And so they recently are like, hey, I guess we're going to take some steps to change this. And I don't know. I don't buy it. Like, this is a, like, we got caught, so we're just going to say we're sorry kind of a thing to me. I don't know how you feel.
Well, I think the only interesting thing here, or the unusual thing, is from a Western perspective of how many times in your lifetime have you seen a company just be like, oh, like, instead of putting out, like, a blah, 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 non-statement, like, we can't say anything, like, protect themselves. Here, Toei's just like, oh, yeah, we fucked up. They just go, fair.
Yeah.
Then it goes on to detail, like, a female Toei assistant sounds like she's the one who started this whole ball rolling and just really fucked up shit. Like, it doesn't look like, for the record, she's not saying that she was sexually assaulted or stuff, but she lists, like, oh, they're, like, a fixed overtime system. They would work, like, 13-plus hours a day for weeks, and there would be, like, no overtime. There were some, like... Not like, like it wasn't like she was sexually assaulted, but there were moments where she was sexually harassed and, you know, she was given unreasonable orders and like told to do a camera test and sit right next to the person and like weird stuff. And this kind of sounds like just a messed up corporate culture in general. Like Toei needs to really get their shit together.
Sounds like every job ever. Yep. We've talked about that before. Like, if you think this doesn't happen at your job, it does. Like,
it doesn't happen to you.
Yeah. Or, you know, it happens behind closed doors and people are just afraid to talk about it. And there was another, moving ahead a little bit. There was also a Nintendo accusation of unfair labor practices. I don't know all the details. You're more of a video game person, so I'm assuming you know more about this than I do.
Yeah, it came out that because Nintendo outsources a lot of their stuff, and it turns out that it probably goes deeper than we thought. Basically, a few former NOA employees started to tweet about just like, hey, like my life was miserable back when I worked for Nintendo. It's like a contract, and it's a lot of the same stuff that we see everywhere, which is like, oh, you know, we were contract for like years and they would hold out, they would dangle the carrot of maybe we'll make you a full-time employee someday. Not, you know, that kind of bullshit. And just like in general, like being treated as kind of like, oh, like you're disposable. We can get rid of you at any time. You know, if you do something that we don't like, you know, like just like a ton of contractor stuff normal, you know, just like, oh, very... this isn't like steady work. It's kind of just like, you know, you always feel like you're in danger, and that's what it's kind of going into.
I went through that at an animation studio that I worked at. Like, I was contract the whole time and they kept saying like, oh yeah, we're thinking about bringing you on. And then I left for a week to work on something else because I'm contract. I don't have to come in, and they let me go, which is like unbelievable. Not great. Nintendo, of course, is denying all of this. I think they were also accused of union busting, and they're saying,
yep,
we didn't do that. So
don't believe it. All these companies, if someone's coming out and saying they're anti-union, I'm liable to believe them. I was a short-term Target employee for like a seasonal thing. And even for 3 months, I had to watch so many anti-union videos. It was, it's hilarious now that I don't work there, but.
It feels like Disney and Nintendo are really just counting on people to ignore stuff due to like the nostalgia. Like, oh, you are
100%
know,
correct.
It sucks, but I still love Mario. Like, yeah, fair, but Jesus Christ. Okay, so the Sonic the Hedgehog movie has been doing really well. And so the company behind that, DJ2 Entertainment and Escape Artists, are also going to make a Streets of Rage film, or at least they're thinking about it. That is very silly to me. I really like that game. Have you played Streets of Rage?
I have. It's one of the big time Sega like Genesis games. Like, it's a beat 'em up.
Oh, yeah. I have so many, like, I think mostly Streets of Rage 2. That was my jam, because it was on something called, like, the Sega Smash Pack when we got our Genesis. It had, I believe, 6 or 7 games on it, and Streets of Rage 2 was one of those. And, like, I can hear the sound effects in my head right now. Like, it's that kind of ingrained into my memory.
See, I'm not really into beat-em-ups, but it is interesting. Apparently, right now, the writer attached is the co-creator of John Wick.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Not the one who stayed with John Wick, Chad Stahelski, but the one who left to go make Atomic Blonde, Derek Kolstad. Well, and, you know, that seems like a pretty good fit for something like Streets of Rage, but, you know, there's really no telling until this exists.
I mean,
video game movies have a bad track record.
This seems like it would be an easy thing to adapt, though, because, like, yeah, it's a beat 'em up, you walk right and punch, but it really is just a, I don't know, get the bad guy kind of action story. Like, that, I feel, would translate very well.
I really do feel like this should have been made back in the 80s, though.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I mean? Like, you could do this kind of movie so easily in the 80s of just, like, empty warehouses and just like some kung fu stuff. I feel like what are they like? Let's put it this way. The iconic image is, you know, like the very 80s clothes of like the white tank top and the red leather jacket and all of that. And I'm just like, okay, so they're going to have to make this into like more of a movie, but does that mean they're just going to keep the character designs? Like, are they going to be wearing those outfits? And then it's like a 2020
that would rule,
you know, 20s like esque movie.
Are they gonna have Skate jump on someone's back and punch them?
I'm just saying, if your main, like the main character looks like he could have been played by Vanilla Ice in the 80s.
Oh my God.
And
you know,
he's probably not going to do that in 2022.
You know, it would be great. I believe it was the first game you had a special move where it would summon the police who would shoot a rocket launcher at the enemy. That would be, I'm just saying, that needs to happen. So call me if you have any ideas, John Wick guy. Next piece is kind of a weird one that I read through it and I still don't really understand what's going on. So Requiem of the Rose King, which I believe is a currently running anime, is doing a stage version. And because I don't know anything about this story, there is a intersex character, at least based on the summary. And so instead of just hiring an intersex or non-binary actor, they just hired a man and a woman who I guess they're going to swap out at random. I don't really know how that's going to work.
Right, because the main picture they have is of them like pressing their hands against one another as if like they are looking at a mirror image of one another. And it says here that one of them is going to play, it says something around the lines of like the darker, oh, where is it? But I'm not certain if this is going to be like one of them plays the tormented Richard and the other one plays the like regular Richard, or if, you know, like a Gollum situation.
Yeah.
Or if this is going to be, like you said, they just switch out. But it's definitely an approach. At least they're not just, you know, having one. This is at least a nod towards the intersex nature of the character.
Yeah, I thought maybe it was a series about somebody that has two different forms. But according to the forums, it is not. It's one.
Like you said, I would be best if they had an actual intersex actor playing this character. But this isn't a bad compromise.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach. So moving on, why did I tag this one? Some series I've never heard of is getting an anime, Sacrificial Princess and the King of Beasts. It's about a young girl who's resigned to becoming the next meal for the Beast King. And I'm guessing shenanigans happen.
It sounds like a cross between Scheherazade and Beauty and the Beast. Is what it sounds like.
Yeah, based on the fact that it says love is more than skin deep, they're probably going to do it. So yep. I guess if you want a furry romance anime, check that out. Unico. There is a potential new Unico manga coming out. But wait, Osamu Tezuka is dead.
Sorry, just, you know, where was that news?
So Samuel Satin and Guruhiro are teaming up and they're launching a Kickstarter with the goal of making a new Unico manga. I am not super familiar with this group, but it sounds like they do Marvel stuff together. As well as...
Is this manga then?
I believe so, yeah. It says it's a Kickstarter for a new manga.
No, I meant that, like, is it manga though?
Oh, you want to have that discussion?
No, this is just me saying, like, I'm looking at the art. It looks very Western. This looks like a comic book. This doesn't look like a manga.
I don't know. Not being familiar with this duo, I could not say, but at least at face value, the name Guruhiro sounds like that may be a Japanese person, but I don't know.
All right, that's fair. All right.
But yeah, it's, I guess... That's cool. It hasn't been launched yet, so there's not a ton of information. It says it will launch later this spring. Right now, if you go to the link, it's just like one sentence that says, we're making a manga coming soon. Pokemon trading card game. Anybody that plays that? Pokemon Company is going to purchase the company that makes their cards, I think. That's how I interpreted this. But it also said they've only been working with this company for like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. So they must go through people.
Yeah. Back in the, like when the Pokemon cards started, they were working originally with Wizards of the Coast, who are the Magic the Gathering people. And then eventually that fell through. And then they went with another maker. I think this is maybe the third or fourth.
Jesus.
But don't quote me on that.
I guess they just want to start doing it in-house if they're going to buy the company.
Yeah. It sounds like also this is kind of like, am I correct in reading this correctly in that like they said that the company's having problems? So this is kind of like, let's buy them so that way we can just do this in-house and like prevent them from having trouble.
That sounds familiar.
that what the article says?
I have.
Or am it, I completely misreading?
I have
that?
It open now, and I'm not seeing anything. But it says they want to further develop the company, and I guess scale it up. But they will continue to operate it as a separate organization. So I wonder if they'll still make. Like, does this company only make Pokemon card game? Probably not. Like, so I wonder if they'll continue to make competing card games.
Yeah, well, I misread that, everyone. Just ignore that. They're probably doing fine. Pokemon cards sell well.
Yeah, it's such a weird journey watching the Pokemon trading card game, because I remember there was a time where, like, a handful of anime had a trading card game. Like, I believe Yu Yu Hakusho had one. I think Rurouni Kenshin had one. I'm sure there was another one. Zatch Bell probably had one. And so I just, like, put the Pokemon card game in the back of my, you know, the deep recesses of my mind. Like, whatever, that's just another one of those games. I had a starter pack, didn't know how to play the game, never thought of it again. And then, you know, whatever, 30, 20 years later, those cards probably would have been worth a lot of money.
I mean, you never know. I got rid of mine at a good time. I was a kid, and right, but like it was like during the height of Pokemon, and I was able to trade away my entire collection for one GameCube worth of games. I was able to trade in all these games and get a GameCube.
Nice.
I feel like I came out at the better side of that.
Yeah,
you know, I don't have like a random binder full of aging cards and like plastic sleeves, and I still have a GameCube, so.
That's fair. I just think about like when I used to save things, like I probably held on to the Pokemon cards for a long time, and my mom would say like, what are you doing? Those are never going to be worth anything. It's like, damn you, mom. You know, Pikachu could have bought me a house or whatever. I don't know.
Maybe if you had an original holographic Charizard, but those were really hard to find.
That's fair. I'm sure everybody had the basic starter pack that I had. Dick Fight Island. So me and Vinny did a podcast on Dick Fight Island two or three weeks ago. It was a while ago at this point. And apparently we were one of the first podcasts to do it, because the second volume had only just come out. And
I remember it was trending. Like, you had just released the episode, and then a few days later it was trending on Twitter.
Yeah, well, that's what this next bit is about, is we were a little late to the game. Dick Fight Island was trending recently because somebody snapped a picture of it being like showcased at a Barnes & Noble. And I don't know if this was like real or if they staged it, but it had a picture of Squidward and it said, "This is absolute peak storytelling. It is spellbinding tale of warriors battling for supremacy with their girthy sabers. The art is beautiful enough to leave a man screaming in ecstasy. 11 out of 10 would ride the Dick Fight again. Squidward approved." If you want to hear that podcast, I don't know, go back in the archive a couple episodes. It's titled Dick Fight Island. I don't think you can mistake it with anything else.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. So this next article.
A big woof.
Well, it's funny because, we recorded a no-name show last night, and I asked Twitter to give us some Twitter suggestions. And one person responded, it was Otaku Crack, and they said, like, talk about how Crunchyroll has a Saudi Arabian anime or whatever. I thought he was joking. Like, oh, that's a joke answer. So I just didn't bring it up on the show. And here we are. I'm going through the news, and Crunchyroll is streaming what sounds like maybe like Saudi Arabian propaganda movies. I don't know. I know that it's produced by that guy that murdered a journalist or ordered the murder of a journalist.
Right. The new owner of SNK.
Yeah, the new owner of SNK. And that a lot of recognizable voice actors are in this movie, and it's coming to Crunchyroll this spring. So guess nobody has any morals when it comes to money.
I will say this, as someone who's been reading through the Arabian Nights and is 2/3 of the way done through 1,001 of them, what this story sounds like, you said it's propaganda. That's kind of what Arabian Nights is. So this is at least historically in keeping
yeah,
with that. So, but of course, I can't prove the authorship of 1,001 Nights. Saudi prince who kills journalists and is buying companies and is not a nice guy. So there's that difference.
Yeah. And that was a point that was brought up in the forum is like, well, you know, people in Saudi Arabia deserve to have stories made for them, aimed at them about their culture. And that's absolutely true. The reason why we're criticizing this is because of who's making it. Not because it exists. Well, I guess technically, yes, because it exists, but not because the story itself exists and the people that it's aimed after. It's just the people producing it are evil.
It would be like if the Unabomber helped make an anime. I'd be like, maybe don't support that.
Yeah. Something that I think you should support, Jet Set Radio and Crazy Taxi are apparently being rebooted. Jet Set Radio is one of my favorite games of all time. For some reason in my head, it's Jet Grind Radio. I think it went by two names. I think they called it Jet Grind Radio in the game, but the box art said Jet Set Radio.
See, the problem that's not listed here is that Sega announced this. They're talking about this new brand of things that are called like super games, and they sound very much like the kind of buzzwordy games that are like, we're going to have all these monetization things and blah, blah, and we're going to keep you in the service, which for a lot of people is a red flag. You know, like think about how many developers have wanted to make a Destiny like only to fail at it, that kind of stuff. And then Sega is like, oh, we're looking at that. And here are the games we're looking at: Jet Set Radio and Crazy Taxi, which for a lot of people are big favorites, right? Like they're nostalgic for the Dreamcast days. And so this is kind of like this is like the monkey's paw,
yeah.
Right?
Well, for people that are disenfranchised regarding this story, there is a spiritual successor to Jet Set Radio in production. I don't know
it's
the
from
name.
From an indie studio, it looks really good.
Do you know what it's called?
I don't, but I'm familiar with it. I've seen it running. I just cannot remember the title, but it very much looks like Jet Set Radio. Very stylized, lots of cool grinding and all that cool stuff. But just not with the name attached because it's an outside studio.
I've opened up Kotaku, which is a dangerous thing to do. It looks like it may be Bomb Rush Cyberpunk.
That's right.
And if my memory is serving me correctly, like the music composer from Jet Grind Radio is involved in that project.
Jet Set Radio, for those who are getting confused easily.
My bad. If you know, you know. Crunchyroll CEO has stepped down. This should not come as a surprise because they just got, you know, absorbed into Funimation. So, you know, even though they're taking on the Crunchyroll name, a lot of those people are still going to be replaced. So Colin Decker, a name that, I mean, because like we don't know who the CEO of these companies are. So these are just like names I'm hearing for the first time. Colin Decker has left the company and Raul Perini is the new president.
All I'm saying is, you know, because of course one company doesn't need two CEOs, but Funimation's really missing out on a chance, right? They could have had their own Dick Fight Island there.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's fair. I would imagine that from a consumer standpoint, this will have very little noticeable differences. Just a different, a different asshole running the company. Speaking of assholes, Netflix. Holy shit!
Netflix. This has been such a journey. It's hilarious. It's sad. I was going to say it's hilarious, but this whole everything about this is stupid.
Yeah. So it's the story says that Netflix is considering a low-cost streaming tier with ads, but I saw on Twitter the other day that they moved forward with that. Do you know if that's true?
So the big problem, right, is that they just had their big meeting and they lost subscribers for the first time.
Like a lot.
A big part of this is because, like a lot of companies, they stopped serving Russia. So just by cutting off Russia, they lost 700,000 subscribers. And because those numbers are down for the first time, their stock shed, I think, like it's like they're in like 25 to 33% of their value, like overnight, basically. And because of that, you know, the whole thing about stocks, right, is that it can create like that effect of just like, oh, it's going down. Then people panic and it keeps making it lower. So because of that, Netflix had to announce a bunch of like here's what we're doing to stem the blood.
Yeah.
You know, and they come up and they just announced, sorry.
You know,
they just announced a bunch of shit, basically, that nobody wants.
Yeah.
But that's how capitalism works. You know, if number goes down, then we have to make it go back up, despite the fact that they've done all these initiatives lately, which are like anti-consumer and bad, and nobody wants, except for, of course, the people who want more money and for bigger profit number.
Yeah, raising prices, kicking off subscribers. It says they're projected to lose 2 million subscribers, which, you know, that's not surprising. You raise your price, what, another $5 or whatever.
And now they're even coming up with ways to, like, they're really not unhappy. One of the other things is they also announced at the same time as this, is that they're now going to crack down on password sharers who are just stealing and like, all this stupid shit. I mean, I think a large part of it is, one, Netflix, you know, like, it used to be the only game in town. Now there's a ton of competition. And honestly, you can only subscribe to so many.
Yeah.
The smart way to use Netflix and any of these subscribers is just to, like, wait for there to be a bunch of stuff you want to watch, sign up for 1 month, watch it all, stop. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, legitimately, that is the smartest way to use these places now. They're the victim of their own success. I don't feel any sympathy for Netflix.
Nope. Moving on to even more evil companies, Amazon. So a few weeks ago, we talked about how the live-action Voltron film was being shopped around. It sounds like Amazon may be the one, the studio to move forward on that. I don't, you know, there's no other details about that, but, you know, live-action Voltron could be happening, brought to you by Jeff Bezos. I don't know how I feel about that.
For the record, it also sounds like there's a... It's just so weird, right? Because, like, we brought up last... Or I think Vinny brought up, it's just, like, who are they trying to appeal? Is this trying to be, like, the newer Voltron? Is this trying to be older Voltron? And then even the competition to get this almost sounds like Voltron. It's like Warner Brothers, Universal, all the studios are bidding for the live-action Voltron. I mean...
Yeah.
You know,
well, we'll see what happens. So I believe it was last week or the week before we talked about how Clamp was like, no, we're going to finish Holic. We swear, Holic Ray. And so that is happening. It's coming back in spring of 2023. So fans of that manga, rejoice.
This is fantastic news, because I remember you were pretty pessimistic. You're just like, well, they said they'll get around to it.
Yeah.
... Eventually.
Shows
and bam,
a
week later, we find out eventually is a lot sooner than we thought.
I was going to just let that be swept under the rug.
Well, I'm calling you out, JP.
More G-Kids news. G-Kids has licensed rescued Nadia, Secret of Blue Water, and they're going to give it a 4K restoration. That's pretty neat. I've never seen that. Maybe this will be my time to do it.
So Nadia's really, like, one, it's important for, like, for Gainax, right? Like, they're, like, when they made it, this is still, like, peak Gainax. But also, for those who aren't in the know, and I'm sorry, for this is going to be a little bit of a Disney thing, but you might have also seen Nadia. It goes by another name. Atlantis, The Lost Empire. Wow. So, yeah, this is one of those Kimba / Simba the White Lion things.
Nice.
You know, I'm not going to go into it, but, like, it is one of those things. So the cool thing about this, though, is they say it's based on a new 4K restoration. So, I mean, I'm a bit worried about this, and that I think that whatever this new release, I think it will look better than the previous one, because it sounds like they're giving this, like, a brand new... Hopefully, if not a new transfer, at least, like, it sounds like a new transfer, rather. No, I'm going to say that. It sounds like a new transfer. I hope that it looks really good, but it sounds like this will probably be one of those situations where it's a Blu-ray, and then they say, from a 4K master, which is basically, like, downscaling,
yeah,
quote-unquote.
They have done 4K releases in the past, so I guess...
I just don't think... Let's put it this way. If this were a 4K release, like on a 4K disc... I think this would be the first 4K series of anime to be released. I think so far it's only been...
Oh, yeah. So it's been all movies.
Movies. Of course, I think it'll probably be Blu-ray. So for those who have the previous Blu-ray, I think it says Sentai put out the Blu-ray. I have that. I just hope that it looks good enough that like I would actually want to upgrade, because it's hard, you know, if it was a new format, that's an easy upgrade. But if it's for, you know, like if it doesn't look significantly better, I'm not going to be buying it.
Sure.
Digimon Survivor Game is getting a worldwide release January 29th. I assume that is a sequel to Ghost Game. I'm not the Digimon guy.
Yeah. So this is from the, you know, like the past few Digimon games have been really popular on the, I know that they've been PS4 games and on PC probably.
Oh, this is an actual game, not a series.
No, this is a game. So it's called Digimon Survive.
Oh God, I'm so dumb. I got so confused by Ghost Game being a show that I just assumed this was called Survive Game.
No, this is Digimon Survive. So the thing that's interesting about this is for like the calendar for this year for games has been pretty bare. And everyone was waiting. And then out of nowhere, all these companies started to announce these release dates. But this is weird in particular, because just the other day, Nintendo announced that they were moving forward the release date of Xenoblade Chronicles 3 to July 29th. And now Digimon Survive is being released on 28th in Japan, 29th. So the same day. But then those two were just announced recently. But unfortunately for them, this is sad for me, Square Enix's Switch release of their old SNES game, Live Alive, is set to come out on July 22nd. So it's like literally Live Alive announced this time, this game, this slot that was like, wow, this is really cool that we're getting this game officially translated for the first time. And they picked this time that's in the, you know, was like at the time in the bumfuck middle of nowhere in the calendar. And now they're having to go up against two like big ass modern JRPGs. So it went from, you know, a little oasis to now it's like these big guys are muscling out this old school RPG, and I'm very sad because I really love Live Alive. I hope that they didn't. I hope that they delay Live Alive, honestly, at this point, because they're gonna, you know, I feel like all these titles are gonna cannibalize each other's sales.
It's very possible. I'm realizing that we still have a lot to do and not a ton of time, so I'm gonna rush through some of these. Shaman King is getting a sequel. That is a Netflix series that nobody seemed to talk about because it was on Netflix. Tatami Time Machine Blues is getting a theater screening of a compilation version this September. I got very confused about this because I thought this was supposed to be a show.
I looked it up. So the show is coming. It will be on Disney Plus at some point. Which is a bit of a boo, because I don't want to,
I think it's Disney Plus in Japan, right?
Yeah, I don't even know if we're going to get it, but this is like, I think, an interquel to Tommy Galaxy.
All right. Oh, yeah, it's like there was a stage play, and then it was based on the stage play. We've talked about this a few times. It's coming back to me. Review Starlight, the anime movie, is coming to North America courtesy of Sentai Filmworks in June with an early May premiere. If you're at Anime Central, you will have the opportunity to do that. What is next? Oni Mai, I'm Now Your Sister is a anime about a guy that wakes up as a lady. That is a comedy series. It seems that a lot of people are excited for this. I don't know, you know, a ton about the story because it's a very vague story. It just says that his sister turned him into a girl because she was doing like science experiments.
Classic.
But it sounds like this is a very popular series, and it is from the studio that did Jobless Reincarnation, which, you know, say what you will about the story, it was visually one of the best looking shows of that year. So I imagine this is also going to look very good because it seems that a lot of the staff from Jobless Reincarnation is coming back to make this. Encouragement of Climb is finally going to be a half hour long. It's funny because it has been climbing in the episode length over the years. It was originally one of those like 3 or 5 minute things, and it turned into like the 12 to 15 minute shows, and now it will be 30 minutes long. This journey has been going on since 2013. Yuitase, the manga Arata the Legend, is going to be moving online. It has had a very shaky history due to health reasons. It is coming back from a 6-year hiatus this May.
Jeez.
Play It Cool, guys. I tagged this because the summary was very funny. It's just like a bunch of...
I legitimately think this is a great idea.
Yeah, it looks like it might be a funny show. Just a bunch of like fucking dorks getting into trouble, I guess.
But no, see, like, this is a good idea. I just want to say quick that, you know, I complained on the last show of just like terrible premises. This sounds like such an easy premise to do. I love it.
It reminds me of the Don't You Know I'm Sakamoto, but it's different people making it.
Yeah.
What else? The PlayStation Plus relaunch that we've been talking about has a release date. It looks like June 1st in Japan, June 13th in Americas, and June 22nd in Europe. Black Clover is going on hiatus for a few months so the author can prepare the final bit of that. I thought that series ended a year ago. I guess I'm wrong. I think it was just the anime stopped. And then I'm going to go back in time. I skipped over a story.
Yep.
So this was something that I ignored last week because it was just such a long article that I didn't have time to read it. And I still didn't really have a ton of time to read it. But there was some newspaper ad for Tawawa on Monday, which is like some ecchi series. And my understanding is that a group was like, hey, this seems a little misogynistic that this is in the newspaper. But from what I read, they weren't calling for the series to be discontinued. They were just saying, hey, maybe this shouldn't be in the newspaper. And of course, that blew up into a shit show of people saying that feminists are trying to censor Tawawa. And it all escalated to the point that now Ken Akamatsu is like some fucking lunatic making propaganda manga and talking about how like feminists are coming after your freedom of expression. It is a goddamn mess. Maybe we could do a longer form discussion of this outside of a news show. I'd have to actually read. It's a very long article.
Yeah, no, it's really weird. It says that, so like the thing that's funny is it shows the tweet of the guy like, maybe we should say this for like a longer topic. We don't have a ton of time to go into it, but this is weird. This is a weird story.
Yeah, it's just one of those like buying manga to own the libs kind of a story. I don't know. It's a mess.
They say it's bad to have underage sexual representation. I'll show them. Yeah. Buys a lot of fucked up shit.
Yeah. So let's move on quickly. Toonami ratings from April 16th, 2022. The first, I guess, half was up pretty significantly by like 60,000 to 80,000 people. Lupin the Third had its debut at 159,000. And then the rest of the night kind of tapered off, losing 22,000, I don't know, like 30,000 people. So,
yeah.
And then let's move on to our right stuff list.
This Blu-ray list, number 10. I am shocked this is on Blu-ray.
Yeah. Oh my God, Grenadier. I almost bought Grenadier.
I have a DVD box from like the, I don't know, the ADV days or something.
Wow. Yeah, so number 10 is Grenadier on Blu-ray. Number 9 is The World Ends With You. Number 8 is Astro Boy 1980s. Number 7 is Lupin the Third, Episode 0. Then 6 is Quintessential Quintuplet Season 2, it looks like. Darkstalkers has gone up 4 spots. It is number 5 now. Fate Grand Order, the movie, came down 3 spots and is now at number 4. That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime at number 3. Lupin the Third, Part 1. At number 2, and then number 1 is, oh my goodness, this is a long title. Fate Grand Order, Final Singularity, Grand Temple of Time, and then it gets cut off. So let's move on to the manga quickly. I have a pretty good, it's a lot of Spy Family, so the anime must be doing very well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 Spy Family volumes are on this chart this week. Chainsaw Man is on there, of course. Jujutsu Kaisen is also in there. And then Demon Slayer box set has the number 2 spot and a One Piece box set at number 1. Then I'm going to rush through the DVDs. 80 Police at number 10. Gunbuster 2 DVD 1 at number 9. Area 88 at number 8. Magikano at number 7. I think that's a Ken Akamatsu, possibly. Devilman at number 6. Bubblegum Crash at number 5. Iria number 4, Mazinger at number 3, Dr. Slump movie set at number 2, and then Mazinger again at number 1. That must be a 2-part set. Wow. I think, I don't know if Magikano is actually Ken Akamatsu. Don't come after me. But also go after Ken Akamatsu. I don't know. Don't really do that. I'm joking. It's the Gonzo.moe Newsroom Podcast. Newsbroom. Jesus Christ. We talk about the stories from the previous week. It is on iTunes. It's on Apple Google, I don't know, Spotify. It's probably somewhere in your mind. Astral project this podcast into the ether. We'll see you next week. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, everyone. I'm going to go, I don't know, go away forever.
Yeah, nothing like ending the podcast on a down note.
Yeah, I just like, oh, God.